Hi, sweetie.
Hello.
Hi, darling. How you doing?
Good.
That's good. Yeah, I did, and thank you. And I do need to talk with you because there's lots of ideas I've got and good things are happening. But I didn't
Great.
have too much strength this week, so it'll happen when it happens.
Okay. Oh, we're very desirous of making sure you know that if you're not going that direction, I should pay you because this,
You're a sweetheart of the first order of magnitude. You really are. And thank you, Mia, with all my heart. I appreciate it very much. Okay,
Okay.
so yeah, so we'll be in touch, but I think that I could get help from your marketing expertise, definitely.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, there's things, yeah, I need to talk with you. There's lots going to be happening, so
Okay.
bullshit. Yeah, as soon
Okay.
as I get my health a bit more together, I'll be fine.
All right. I understand. I mean, I understand the best I can, of course.
I know, but you
Nobody
know,
knows
everybody's
unless they
prayers are
do.
so good for me. Oh, hi,
Hello.
Diane.
Hi,
Wonderful,
how
you're
are you?
there. Super. Who am I trying to add now? Mia. Oh, no, you're there. Whoops, Jody. Jody's there. Add Jody. And one second. Oh, Dina disappeared
Hello.
again. Oh,
Hi, this
hi.
is Amy.
Now I can hear somebody, but I can't.
This is Amy.
Amy, right. Hello, sweetie. I can't hardly hear you.
Oh, I don't know. Did
I'm here.
that help?
Yeah, yes. I don't know what you did, but you did something good. Hi,
I
Jody.
turned up the microphone.
Ah, well, you did
Good
something.
morning.
Hi. Hello, sweetheart. How are you? Thanks for your note, by the way.
I'm well. How about everybody?
Baruch
Great.
Hashem. Baruch Hashem. We're doing fine. I don't know what's happening to
Great.
Dina. And now she should be there because she was online. Shucks. And
Okay,
now
and
I think there's somebody else.
I'm going to turn
Elena.
my
Elena.
mic down, Yadida,
All
because it's
right.
too much. But I'll turn on if I need something. But I'm
Yeah,
here.
definitely.
Thanks.
Okay, so
All right, cool.
we're still a minute off,
I'm
but I
here.
just want to call Dina and just make sure that she's gonna be online with us because last time she had so much difficulty. And she lives just, up the road, so there's no reason why I can't just give her a phone call. Dina. Here we go. All right. I'll just call her and just ask her what's happening. Hashem, Baruch Hashem.
Great.
Okay. Right. I can't do anything. She can't leave a message, can't do anything. Right. Okay, so let's start off with our prayer. All right. Ribono Olamim, Vadone Adonim. Ava Haman Vaslichot. Oh, hi, Dina. Good, you did it.
Hi,
Modim,
hi.
hi. We're just starting the prayer. Ribono Olamim Vadone Adonim. Ava Haman Vaslichot. Modim Anachnu Lefanecha Adonai Eloheinu Vleavutenu. Bekida Bishtahavaya. Shekeraftono Lotoatcha Ulevadotcha Vodota Kodesh. Vunatatalano Chelek Sodot Toatecha Kdosha. Ma'anu Umehayenu. אשר עשיתי עמנו חסד גדול כזה. על כן אנחנו מפעילים תחנוננו לפניך, שתמחול ותסלח לכל חטאותינו ועוונותינו, ועל יהיו עוונותינו מבדילים בינינו לביניך. וכן יהי רצון מלפניך, אדוני אלוהינו ולאבותינו, שתכונן את לבבינו ליראתך ולאהבתך, ותקשיב אוזניך לדברינו אלה, ותפתח לבבינו הערל ובסודות תורתך, ויהיה לימודנו זה נחת רוח לפני כסא כבודך כרך ניחוח, תציל עלינו אור מקור נשמתנו בכל בחינתנו, שיתנוצצו ניצוצות עבדיך הקדושים, אשר על ידם גילית דבריך אלה בעולם, uzchutam, uzchut avotam, uzchut toratam utmim utam kedushatam, yamod lanu leval nikashel b'divrim elu. ובזכותם תהיה עינינו במה שאנו לומדים, כמה מנעים זמירות ישראל, גל עיניי ואבית הנפלאות מתורתך, כי אדוני תן חוכמה מפיו דת ותבונה, יהיו לו רצון עם רפי, והגיון לבי לפניך, אדוני צורי וגורלי.
אמן.
אמן. And I'll tell you that in...
Amen.
Yeah, amen. I'll tell you that in English. Master of the universe and Lord of lords, Father of mercy and of forgiveness, we give thanks before you, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, by bowing the head and prostrating ourselves, that you've brought us close to your Torah and to your service, the holiest of services, and you've given us a portion in the inner meanings of your holy Torah. What are we and what is our life that you've done for us such an amazing great kindness as this? And therefore we lay our supplication before you, that you pardon and forgive all our sins and our iniquities, and do not let our iniquities separate us from you. And may it be your will, O Lord, our God and God of our fathers, that you prepare our hearts to have awe of you and love of you, and that may your ears listen to these our words, and may our uncircumcised heart open in the inner meanings of your Torah, and may this our learning give pleasure before the throne of your glory like a sweet-smelling fragrance. And may you bestow upon us the light of the source of our soul in all its aspects. And may the sparks of your holy servants, through whom you revealed these your words into the world, shine forth. And through their merit, and the merit of their fathers, and the merit of their Torah, and their wholeness and holiness, stand by us that we do not stumble in these words. And through their merit, illuminate our eyes in what we are learning. As the sweet singer of Israel said, open my eyes and I will see the wonders of your Torah. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, knowledge and understanding. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be forever acceptable before you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Wonderful. Now, are we missing anything? I think we might be missing Julie. Let me just see if she's come online. Julie? No, I don't see her there. All right. Okay, that's it then. Super. Oh, Jodie's disappeared. Shucks. Call her again. Right. Now, we're going to be starting. I sent you all, like, another lot of material. I hope you found it in your email boxes. If you didn't, you can go to your email now while you're on Skype. It doesn't bother Skype at all if you just, you know, put the Skype, you know, lower and you go to your email if you can't find the material. So, anyhow, I sent it earlier today. So, sorry, Diane. That would be like the middle of your night.
That's okay. I'm good.
You're good. All right. Anyhow, we're beginning at the end of the last material I sent last time. So, we're starting from where it says Mishneh Avot, Perek Vav, Mishneh Zayin. So this is a piece from Pirkei Avot, Ethics of the Fathers. Okay. All right. I'm just going to check that it's recording all right. Yes, because I can see a couple of people are having difficulty with their internet. All right. So this is from Ethics of the Fathers, and it's actually going to be talking about how the Torah is life. Gdola Torah, shinotenet chaim leoseha ba'olam hazeh u'ba'olam haba. Shneema ki chaim heim lemotzehem u'lechol b'saro merapeh. Ve'omer, rifut tihi lesharecha v'shikui latzmotecha. Ve'omer, eitz chaim hi lemachazikim ba v'tomcheha meushar. Omer, ki levyat chen heim leroshecha v'anakim legargrotecha. ואומר, תיתן לראשך לביאת חן, עטרת תפארת תמגנך, ואומר, כי ויהיו בו ימיך, ויוסיפו לך שנות חיים. ואומר, אורך ימים בימינה, בשמאלה, או שב כבוד. ואומר, כי אורך ימים ושנות חיים, ושלום, יוסיפו לך. ואומרת, רחי הדרכי נועם וכל נתיבותיה שלום. Oh, that was Eliana. Alina trying to call me on this. Oh dear, I switched her off. Never mind, I can't do two things at once. Right, now I'm going to translate that into English, for those of you who don't have English handy. All right. Great is the Torah that gives life to those who it says make her, but it doesn't mean, but that word make is very interesting. I'll talk to you about that in a moment.
My English says practice it.
Huh?
The English you gave me says, great is Torah for it gives life to those who practice it in this world.
That's right. Now, it's either make it or practice it. But, you know, there's a fascinating discussion in the Zohar about precisely what this means. Oser usually means, well, it can mean either, can't it? It can mean either to make something or it can mean to do something. All right? All right, so normally we think of ourselves as practicing the Torah. But what we actually find is that the Zohar tells us that those who uphold the Torah during the time when God is hidden from us count as if they're actually making it, because they're bringing it forth into the world where the world seems empty of Torah. Isn't that an amazing idea? So,
could you repeat that sentence again, because I don't think I heard all the words.
Okay, all right. The word ayin sin hey in Hebrew means either to do something or it means to make something. All right, and usually depending on the context, we decide what it means. Okay. But there's a piece in the Zohar, which is actually the piece that we usually read on Shavuot, which actually looks very deeply into this idea of when we're practicing the Torah, in a sense, we're making it. Because what we're doing, we're making it manifest in the world. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
Right, okay, we're giving it life. So the Torah gives us life. We looked at that last week. And by practicing it, doing it, we're giving it life. Okay?
Okay.
Great, okay. Now, the giving life to the Torah means that we're doing it, and we looked at this a little bit last time also, that we're doing it completely lishma, completely unconditionally, completely for its own sake. And now Rav Ashak goes into a lot of detail about what this means and what it involves a bit further on in this introduction. But what he's talking about is that because our bodily makeup, our ego makeup, our natural makeup, is that of the ego. It's that of the will to receive for itself alone, a natural selfishness that we all have as inbuilt, okay? Because of that, it's very hard for us to do any movement whatsoever totally unconditionally, okay? If you look carefully at even our unconditional actions, they've usually got some sort of hidden reward stuck in there somewhere. Okay, so to get to doing Torah to the extent that we're making Torah, the Mishnah here is referring to those who are practicing Torah totally unconditionally. Okay, and if that's why I think the Hebrew word used here is la'asot b'Torah, making or doing, rather than la'asok b'Torah. La'asok b'Torah is to be occupying oneself, doing it, but that's not necessarily in a pure way, okay? But la'osav, those who actually doing it in such a clean way, in such a pure way, in such an unconditional way, which is called Torah Lishma, Torah for its own sake, they are acquiring the life. Now, we looked last time that the word life here is not, of course, physical life is of course involved in this, but it's also, or especially, connection with the life of all lives, which is the Holy One, blessed be He.
Are you saying they're acquiring life?
Yes, the Torah gives them life.
All right, I just wanted to make sure I heard.
Okay. Yes. Acquiring life. Acquiring that deep connection, that alive connection with the Holy One, blessed be He.
Yedida?
Yeah.
This whole time as you're speaking, I used to participate in a lot of, I took drama classes and I used to participate in a lot of plays when I was young. A script just lays there on paper. It has no life until there are humans.
Yes, well done. Yes, very nice indeed. Absolutely.
And the humans have to live it for it to live.
Yes. That's right. And that's exactly what the Zohar brings out in this beautiful passage. Okay. Yes, Dina, you want to say something? No, I don't know.
No, I'm just listening.
Okay. All right, very good. Your microphone flashed, so I wondered if it was that. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. No, it's fine. All right. And so therefore, it says it is life to those who bring it forth, okay, motzehen, those who bring the Torah forth, and it heals all one's flesh. Oh, yes, I could do with that. Yes. It further says, now I'm sure that all these have got, you know, deep inner meanings. But unfortunately, you know, I can only teach what I know. There's a huge, huge, huge areas I don't know. Okay, so L'chol b'saro marpe, all his flesh, it heals. Well, what he needs healing, my will to receive for myself alone needs healing. My vessels, which I'm using in the wrong way now, they need healing. So through the Torah, I can find healing. V'omer rif'ut tihi l'sharecha v'shikui l'atzmotecha. Healing will be to your navel, and shikui is like a tonic to your bones. Now,
mine says marrow to your bones.
Yeah, okay, very good. Yeah, there's lots of ways of translating these words, you know. Sharecha, your navel. I find that interesting because the Chinese, you know, in Tai Chi and Qigong, you know, look at the center of the will, basically, coming from the Tantien, which is, you know, that area, what they call the cauldron, below the navel. I mean, that area is, you know, and you breathe into that all the time when we're working with the Tai Chi. And I go to Tai Chi lessons and find that incredibly helpful.
The navel is also how we connect from one generation to the next generation through the navel and the umbilical cord. And so this is all part of God's plan to be, you know, part of being the one soul. I think that we're physically, it's not just a spiritual, but we're physically connected.
Beautiful. Absolutely right. Yes, totally. Yeah. Because our connection, right, it's not just horizontal, it's also vertical. Beautiful. Yeah, from generation to generation. Yes.
I also wonder if navel to bones is from birth to death.
I don't know. That's a very interesting idea. That's a beautiful idea. What my relationship with the word bones is actually the RE also gives the Sfirot are represented on the face, in the body, and also in the body from the inside out. So that the S and the marrow of the bone is called Keter, in fact. And then it goes Chochmah, I think, is the I've forgotten which how there's, I know that there's Keter is the most innermost one, and that is the bone essence, the essence of the bone. And the word Atzamot, bones, is essence. Okay. So the most innermost sphira, the purest of all the sphirot, Keter, is related to the bone marrow. So
what is the name related to on the sephirot?
Sorry? The area of the navel, I don't remember. Yesod is the sexual area. Might be Tiferet. Don't know. Sorry. Ve'omer, Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim ba v'tomchei ha'me'ushar. It is a tree of life to those who take hold of it, and those who uphold it are happy. Now, the tree you've got two trees in the Garden of Eden. You've got the tree of knowledge, and you've got of good and evil, and you've got the tree of life. Remember? Now, Rav Ashlag teaches from the Zohar that the tree of life is the tree of faith, whereas the tree of knowledge is the tree of knowledge. Okay, so you've got these two paradigms through which we have consciousness. One is knowledge and experience, and the other is the paradigm of faith. Now, faith, again, is a way of giving. All right, it's not something we can receive, it's something we give. We have to give our faith to God, to somebody. We're going to have faith in someone. We believe in their future. We believe in their potential. We believe in what they can be.
Yadida, is that like trust?
Totally, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I see what you mean. It's not faith in the sense of a religious faith.
Like, right, or of belief, like emunah, we translate in English sometimes as belief, and I think it's better to translate it as trust.
I think that in faith and emunah and bitachon, bashem, are really three pretty synonymous words.
Hmm.
If you... Faith in God is emunah, and there's a wonderful article by the Ramchal called Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto called Ma'amar HaKivoy, the Ma'amar of Hope. And if you read that, you can see how he's using the word faith, and he's using the word hope actually as being synonymous.
Well, I think people, when they translate Ani Ma'amin Bashem, and they translate it, I believe in God, people think, well, you believe there's a God, or there's no, or you don't believe there's a God. That's a wrong translation.
Yes.
And people would say, I trust in God. That has
a
whole different...
I see what you mean. Beautiful. Yes, yes. Very nice. It's got a different ring to it, hasn't it?
Mm. It's not that you believe or not believe that he exists. It's that you trust in him.
Yes, 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 yes. Beautiful. Thank you. Yes, I shall adopt that translation. Thank you. It's Eitz Chaim hi. So it's the tree is like the structure of faith, okay? To those of trust, thank you. Of those who hold on to the trust in God, and those who uphold it are happy. And it goes on to say, which is a garland of grace for your head and pearls to your neck. in Proverbs. So the Torah is a garland of grace to your head and a pearls to your neck. And it says, Titen l'rosh chaliviat chen, give a... I can't remember what that says in the English. Amy, what does it say? What's that one? But Titen l'rosh chaliviat chen, give a grace or garland to your head, and a crown of tiferet will defend you. Something like that.
She shall give to your head a garland of grace, a crown of glory she shall grant you.
Oh, there you go. All right. That was pretty well.
What do you suppose grace for your head means? And is there any parallel in Song of Songs about this necklace issue?
I don't know Song of Songs well enough to know. It's in, okay. This is from Proverbs. The head aspect of the person, as the head aspect of any spiritual entity, is the potential aspect, it's the thought aspect. Whereas the goof aspect, the body aspect, is the where we actually bring through whatever we're going to do, whether it be positive or negative. So the head aspect in the Kabbalah is the potential, whereas the body aspect is the actual action, where the action takes place. Nevertheless, Sof Maaseh B'Machshava Techila, the end of an action is on its original thought. Thought is important because it's the beginning of any action. All right? Okay? So it's important to get the thought right, and then the action will follow the thought. For in me your days will be multiplied, and they will add to you years of life. And it says, Orech yamim bimina bismola osheva kavod. There is length of days in her right hand, and in her left hand there is riches and honor.
Huh. That's now, interesting. The English is a little different.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, okay. I mean,
go ahead.
You know, every time I translate it, it comes out a little differently. So, her right hand is the vessels of giving, usually, and the left hand is the vessels of receiving, which eventually also come into holiness. And he says, Ki och yamim ushnot chayim v'shalom yosifu lach. And it says it will add length of days and years of life and peace to you. And it further says, its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Okay, one of my favorite bits. All right. Right. So, from that beautiful collection of Pirkei Avot, we can see how the sages saw the Torah, saw the fulfillment of the Torah. They saw its practice as giving us life, giving us beauty, giving us connection with God, giving us a way to live in this world in the most perfect and beautiful way, giving us health. Okay? And all that is this total connection with the life of all lives. And Rabbi Asher goes on in the introduction to the Talmud Esser Sefirot, and this is the last bit on page 20. V'zeh shemesayem ha-katuv hanal u'bachar te b'chayim l'man tichyeh atav azarecha. And this is what the scripture finishes. And you shall choose life in order that you shall live, you and your seed. It looks like the language is superfluous. If you choose life for the sake of the fact that you should live, you know, if you choose life, then obviously, you know, that's what you mean. But the scripture means the true life, which is on, comes through the fulfillment of the Torah and mitzvot, which is only, which is the real life, which is true life. Masha ein kein chayim b'li Torah mitzvot heim kashim mimavet, which is not the case of life without Torah mitzvot. They are harder than death. V'zeh shamu chazal, and this is what the sages have said, v'shayim b'chayim nikraim meitim, the wicked in their lifetimes are called dead, k'mevu'ah, as we've said. V'zeh shomer k'tuv, and this is what the scripture says, l'man tichyeh atah v'zarecha, in order that you should live, you and your seed. Klomar, shachayim b'li Torah lo zo b'lvad she'em b'hem hana'a shu klum l'ba'alehem, that is a life without Torah. Not only does it not give any joy at all to to people living such a life, but it can't give joy to others either. Because even in the children who he gives birth to, he's got no nachat, he's got no satisfaction. Because also their lives is going to be as tougher than death. So what gift does he give them? But one who lives through Torah mitzvot, not only does he merit to enjoy his life, who samech od lo lid banim ulhanchilam me'achayim atovim halalu, but he's also happy to give birth to children and to grant them such a good life as he has. So that you should live, you and your seed. Because he has an additional joy in the life of his children. Because he was their cause.
That was really, really nice. I like that.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's basic, but it gets to the point right there, you know? It's very lovely.
Yeah. Beautiful. Right. Any questions, ideas, thoughts? No?
You said that was page 21, but for me, that was page 13.
Oh.
I guess 21 is the Hebrew version?
Yeah, yes.
Sorry. All right.
Yeah. Ubachat b'chaim. Choosing life. I do recommend that even if you don't know Hebrew very well, that you've tried to follow in the Hebrew text anyhow. Okay? But Hebrew is such a holy language. It's got such inner meanings to it that however good the translations are, and, you know, I do my best, but honestly and truthfully, they're only translations. And they're not the same as the connection with the original Hebrew. Okay? So, even if you can't really, you know, manage the Hebrew, don't worry about it. But put your finger on the place and just follow with your eyes with the words. Okay? As much as you can. I really recommend that. All right?
Good idea.
Okay.
Can I just make a suggestion or just say something to like the class? This is Jody speaking.
Yeah.
That I know there's a lot of different levels of people that are on the Skype call and we don't really know each other and what our backgrounds are. But I know I've been studying for a lot of years with you, Dita.
Yes.
And we could look at the calendar, but for me, especially when I was first starting to learn a lot of this, it was sort of like something I had to understand that I'm not going to understand all this. And it's deep material, and it took me a few years to even really understand what we were talking about and to understand the language and the hidden language and the deeper inner meanings. And so part of it, you have to absorb a lot of this information because it seems so heavy at first until you really understand the quote unquote inner meanings a bit and let go of hardcore, you know, what you old knowledge that you have, because this is something new that you really might not be able to compare it to other ways of thought in your life, maybe. So just as a little bit of context, and I'm not sure if that's helpful or not, but.
No, thank you. Very helpful. I also, I remember that Yadida said it's a different language. It's the language of the branches, and getting used to learning a new language and not thinking of the same words as we normally use them was very helpful.
Right. And a lot of the whole concept is using intuition. And sometimes we have a closer understanding of our own intuition. And sometimes it's like, oh my God, my intuition, you know? So it's a mental learning process, but for me, it turned into a physical in a way because everything transformed a bit, but transformations sometimes take time. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
A little bit? Okay. So I just wanted to put that in, interject, because if you're like, oh my God, what this is so heavy, and I want, you know, it's just, there's different experience. We all have different experiences of what this all means.
That's beautiful, Jody, and thank you so much, because I mean, to tell you the truth, that's helpful also for me to hear that again, because it's not that you learn it and then you've learned it. It's not like information at all. It's not an informational learning. It's much more organic. I like to think of it in the way a tree grows. You know, a tree just expands slowly round and round. It seems to be going round the same ideas round and round and round, the same rings, but then it's grown another ring. That's the way I'm seeing it in my life, is that it's very organic. I'm going round, you know, this is material that I first came, really, my husband translated it. I think I learned it first maybe in 2002, something like that, or 2001. Maybe even earlier. But I can't say I understood anything at the time. And even when my husband translated it, and I did all the editing for that book, In the Shadow of the Ladder, I don't think I really I can't say that I understood it, certainly not to the level I understand now. And there's endless depths that I haven't penetrated. So it's very organic, and you've got to have a lot, like Jody said, you need a lot of patience. Another thing that I think is also fascinating about the way Rabbi Ashlag teaches is that he just plunges you in. You know, there's no beginning really in certain ways. You know, in Western culture, we learn, you know, A and B and C and D, and you don't go and learn E until you've learned A. But that's not at all the way Rabbi Ashlag teaches. He it's like life. You're just plunged in. And then different episodes of your life turn up and seem to come in different disguises again and again. and you till you finally begin to sort them out. And that's a little bit like learning Kabbalah is. You're going to get the same ideas coming around again and again, but they'll come up in different ways and different forms, and eventually you begin to sort it out. But it's not at all like informational learning. Thanks, Jody. That was so helpful.
Jody, I'm sorry if my question seems
too... No, not at all. No, I wanted to make you understand, because the questions are good, because it reaffirms sort of what I learned in a lot of different other ways. So it's good. I'm not trying to discourage that. I just want you to have patience, because yeah. I can hear that you're just like overflowing with, oh my God, you know, lots of questions. And just one more quick point is, me and I went through that book together, the first one, Tapestry.
Tapestry, yeah.
And like the second we finished, it was like, oh my God, now I feel I can start it all over again, because now I'll understand. You know what I mean? And that was after like 3 years. So I just wanted to give you that reference point. And now I'll shut up.
Absolutely. I mean, that was one of the dilemmas was to start class on new material, was to actually go back and redo Tapestry. I know that Jody and Mia would have been quite happy to have gone back and redone Tapestry, but I wanted to try something different. I wanted to learn this introduction in a different way than I've done before. So that's why we've got this class.
But, Jody, I don't think it's so much that I'm overwhelmed. It's more that because I've been studying the Zohar for years also, like you, but each teacher has their own interpretation. And I find that our teacher, this teacher, has a wonderful, deep understanding that other teachers I've had do not have. And so I guess that's why I asked some questions that might seem obvious to you.
Good.
No, they're questions good questions, are good. Amy. I mean, listen, you don't have to worry. I mean, if they're awful, I will say so. But they're not. They're good questions. And I welcome questions, because questions help me hear and see where people are at. And also, I like the questions because, let's say you asked a really, you know, daft question, but that's evoked a whole discussion around how we learn. So your question wasn't daft. I mean, it actually wasn't. None of your questions were daft. They were all good. So there is no such thing in my book as a silly question. And in many ways, I have to say, the sillier the better. Because it's the silliest questions, or the questions that we think seem silly, which actually bear the most fruit. Okay, so don't worry about it at all. Just keep asking.
This is Mia, and I have another picture. A lot of times I get pictures, so I share them with you if you are willing. And that is, I'm picturing the center column of the Tree of Life. And there's a balance. And in my own experience, since I'm an extremely creative person, I had the good fortune to go to law school. And I actually knew at the time that it was to balance me out, because my right brain and left brain were not balanced. Mm-hmm. And studying this material, all the material we've studied with Yedida, it requires a balance of right and left brain, of the hemispheres of our brain, and also the two sides of the Tree of Life, and therefore balance point of Tiferet, because otherwise you can't even begin to grasp it if you're way off. And I mean, all of us, however we're our proclivity to creativity, because I can just go way off on a tangent creatively, whereas I've noticed other people can go way off logically and rationally. So I love it so much, because it's forcing that type of growth in me.
Fantastic. Okay, right. So we've come to the absolute understanding that it is the middle line, and the Torah is the middle line, and that we do welcome all questions, even the obvious ones and the silly ones, okay? All right? And keep asking, okay? And everybody's contributed to the dialogue. It's great. Thank you. Absolutely, thank you.
Thank you.
Yay, totally, yes. Right. Okay, so now we're going to start a new section. And this new section is And Choose Life. So now we've decided, we've been shown that the Torah is the source of life, and now we're being told to choose life. Where does choice come in here? All right. So we're going to look again at the Haktamah for the Talmud Esser Sfirot, and it's on top of page 21. Well, mine is the top of page 21. Ramul Tavin et Divrei Chazal al HaKatuv u'Bachart b'Chayim. And from what we've said, you can now understand the words of our sages on the scripture and choose life. Vazel Shono, and this is Rashi's language. He says, look there in the Peirush Rashi. Now, this is his language. Rashi was a great commentator. For those of you who don't remember, he was in the Middle Ages, in about the 12th century or something, lived in France, on the border between France and Germany. Okay? But he was an amazing commentator who basically gave the definitive Peirush, really, till this day, on the Tanakh and on the Talmud. He did know the Kabbalah. It's very clear that he knew the Kabbalah, but his Peirush usually confines itself to the more literal meanings. And Rashi says, and this is his language, אני מורה לכם שתבחרו בחלק החיים כאדם העומד לבנו בחר לך חלק היפה בנחלתי ומעמידו על החלק היפה ואומר לו את זה ברור לך ועל זה נאמר השם מנת חלקי השם מנת חלקי וכוסי אתה תומך גורלי הנחת ידי על הגורל הטוב הנחת ידי על הגורל הטוב, לומר, את זה קח לך. And this is his language. I'm teaching you that you should choose the portion of life. And this is like a person who tells his son, choose the best part of my inheritance. And then takes the kid and stands him over the best part and says to him, this choose, you should choose. And on this, the Psalms say, God is my portion and my cup. You support my lot. You have placed my hand on the good lot, saying, you take this. That's a very interesting idea of choice, isn't it? Because it's not a totally, what he's saying is, it's like the, on the one hand, God says choose. And on the other hand, he's like showing us very, very, very clearly that he's like showing us which bit to choose. In Deuteronomy, we have this idea of choice. Ra'ei anochi noten mifnechem hayom bracha uklala. Et ha-bracha asher tishmu al mitzvot Hashem lokecha asher anochi mitzavetchem hayom. Va'klala im lo tishmu al mitzvot Hashem lokechem. Vasartem min haderech asher anochi mitzavetchem hayom. Lalechet achre Elohim acherim asher lo yedatem. See, I place before you today the blessing and the curse. The blessing that you should listen to the commandments which the Lord of the Lord your God, which I'm commanding you this day, And the curse, if you don't listen to the commandments of the Lord your God and turn aside from the way which I will, am commanding you this day, going after other gods which you have not known. And again, you can sort of like really go into that and say, well, what sort of a choice is that? You know, if you're going to be told, okay, do this and you get a blessing and do that and you're going to get a curse, that doesn't seem like exactly a free choice, does it? Not in the concept that we would consider choice. It's not like going to the shop and you've got, you know, pink trousers or blue trousers, and which trousers do you prefer? Either way, you get good trousers. It's like choosing the positive or choosing the negative. And who in their right minds goes and chooses the negative? And yet, obviously, we do, don't we? So
sometimes our saboteur, our internal saboteur, drags us over to the negative.
Absolutely, it does. Yes, totally. Totally, totally, totally. And choice, as it turns out, is not such an easy thing. It isn't so easy. And the reason is because we don't see the outcome so clearly. If we all knew that the outcome of a sin was that we would, you know, die on the spot or something, we would never sin. And if we all knew of total certainty that the outcome of doing a mitzvah would be eternal ecstasy, there wouldn't be one single person who wouldn't be running to do the mitzvah. But it's because the reward is not revealed for the Torah and the mitzvot. And in fact, in our limited view, it often seems the opposite. The people who do Torah and mitzvot often suffer in this world. Certainly, their reward is not obvious. Okay. But if the reward, the true reward of Torah and mitzvot was really made obvious, there wouldn't be any doubt about it. Okay? So there is an element of choice simply because we don't know, we don't experience. The way we have to go forwards is if we have faith. Like this came back to this idea of trust, doesn't it? Hamachzikim ba, if we hold trust to the Torah, hold trust in that what it's saying to us is true, even though we don't see it and we can't experience it. Nevertheless, we'll find the life in it. We have to hold trust to that. Okay? Because we don't have an open reward system here. If you go to the shop and buy pink trousers or blue trousers, your reward is obvious straight away. You know, you get whatever you wanted. But here, the choice of Torah, the choice of the mitzvah, as opposed to indulging in our ego, is very often hidden. The reward is hidden. So we have to go on that trust, on that faith. And that's where it's difficult. Now, the next piece. Oh, before I go on, any questions, thoughts, ideas? No? All right then. The next piece is from a book called Sifrei. Sifrei is actually part of Midrash. All right, there's different Midrashim. I don't know the difference between them particularly, but Midrash is something you need to be a little careful of. Again, we're talking about language. Midrash uses a language which is not a literal language. It's more of an imagery language. Okay, so you don't take the imagery too literally.
I think Yedidah Sifrei is Shmot, maybe also Bamidbar Dvarim. It's not on Breishit.
Yeah, you're right. I know that there's different Midrashim on different parts of the Torah. Yeah, well done. Yeah, well, this is Devarim, so it must be one on Devarim. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
I don't know much about Sifrei.
I think it's Shmot Bamidbar Dvarim, but I know it's not Bereshit.
Yeah, okay, very good. Look, I put before you today a blessing and a curse. Lefi she'ne'emar, as it said, ha'chayim v'amavet natati lefanecha ha'bracha v'klala. I put before you today the life and death, blessing and curse. Shema yomu Yisrael, ho'yev natan ha'kodosh b'ruchu lefaneinu shnei drachim, derech ha'chayim v'derech ha'mavet, nelech be'eze mehem nitzeh. Talmud lomar, ubachat b'chayim, leman tichyeh atav azarecha. Maybe Israel would say, since God has given us two choices, two ways to go, the way of life and the way of death, we'll go in whichever one we want. But the scripture continues, but you should choose for life, so that you should live, you and your seed. Mashal le'echad shoshev b'parashat drachim, v'ayu lefanav shnei shvilim. This is a parable of somebody who was sitting at the crossroads, and there were two paths in front of him. Echad shetchilato mishor v'sofo kutzim, v'echad shetchilato kutzim v'sofo mishar. One path started off going quite smoothly, but in the end was thorns. And the other started off thorny, but in the end was straight. V'haya modi et ha'ovrim v'et ha'shavim v'omer lehem. Shatem roim shvil zeh. And this guy was sitting at this crossroads, and he was telling the passers-by, you see this path? Shetchilato mishor b'shtayim v'shalosh p'siot tamalech b'mishor v'sofo letzeit b'kutzim. This path, you can start off straight and it's easy, and you go along two or three steps on the straight, or go on two or three, you know, places, whatever it is, but in the end you're going to come out in the thorns. V'atem roim shvil zeh, you see this path? Okay, it's going to start off thorny. It's beginning is thorny, and you go along two or three paces, and you come to the and you're going in thorns, but in the end you come out to the straight bit. Similarly, Moses said to Israel, "Atem ro'im et harasha'im, she'em matzlichim b'shanim u'shlosha yamim, b'shanim u'shlosha yamim." You see the wicked. Yes, they succeed for the first two or three days in this world, but in the end, they get pushed back. For there will be no latter end for the evil, and the candle of the wicked will fade. In Proverbs. And here is the tear of the oppressed, and there is none to comfort them. Ashukim means like here the wicked. And likewise, the fool is like embraces himself, but afterwards eats his flesh. The way of the wicked is in darkness, they do not know in what they stumble. But they see the righteous who are have sorrow in this world for the first two or three years, and in the end they are happy. And this is like it says in Devarim, and he fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food which your fathers had not known, in order to afflict you and in order to try you, so that you will be well in your end. Tov achrit davar mereshito. The end of something is better than its beginning. Tov erech ruach migvar lev. It's better to have patience than to have pride. V'mer ki anochi yadati et ha-machshavot, asher anochi choshev aleichem num Hashem, machshavot shalom v'lo lo ra'a, latet lehem tachrit v'tova. For I know my thoughts, which I think about you, says the Lord. These are thoughts of peace, and they are not of evil, to give to you a latter end of hope. V'omer, O zavur letzadik, o liyishre lev simcha. There is a light sown for the righteous, and for the upright joy. V'orach tzadikim ko'or noga, holech va'or ad nechon hayom. And the pathway of the tzadikim is like a shining light. It grows in light until the day is established. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Kacha says, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Kacha omer, Mashal lemelech shasa su'uda vizmin kol ha'orchim v'ya ohovo meisev b'neihim. It's like a king who was making a banquet and he invited all his guests and he had his best friend sitting amongst them. And he wanted to give him a nice, or to take a nice portion, but he didn't know what to take. Since he saw that his friend didn't know what to take, he took his hand for him and put it on the good portion. God is my portion of my cup. You support my lot. There is a person who can give him his portion, but he's not happy with it. But Israel are thankful and happy. And they are joyful that because there is no other portion as beautiful as theirs. V'lo nachala mikan nachalatan, or inheritance as their inheritance. V'lo goral kegorolam, or a lot as their lot. V'chen modim umshabchim kokach, and so they are thankful and praise so much. V'chen David omer, and likewise David says, Chavalim naflu li b'ni'imim, af nachalat shafra alai. My bondages fell for me with pleasure. Even my portion was shining for me, was bountiful for me. I will bless God who's given me counsel. I will bless God who's given me counsel. Even my nights, even in the nights when my kidneys chastise me. That's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful piece of Midrash. And I think it's totally accurate because, you know, it really is like you've got, I love this parable of the guy sitting at the crossroads and he's telling everybody, okay, these are the two paths. There's this path which is smooth to start off with, but it's ended in thorns. That's the path of the wicked. And there's the path of the righteous, which starts off thorny. It's very difficult. But in the end, it's going to be good, and it brings a lot of evidence from the Torah itself to show how God cares about how things turn out in the end, even if the process can be difficult. Very often, you know, we look at the news and we look at the world and we look at what's happening and we look at what did happen, whatever, and we say, my God, you know, this is so horrible, this is so difficult. We can look at our own lives in that way too sometimes. But what we need to know is what God really cares about is how things are going to be when everything comes together at the end. He's not looking so, you know, he does not interested in giving us joy during the process as joy as an end result. And we might say, well, you know, people die in suffering, but we need to know that the essential part of themselves, the eternal part of themselves, the soul, never dies. And on the contrary, we just reincarnate again and again and again and again. And all of us will definitely get to the Gemar HaTikun. All of us. Because there is no such thing as any aspect of the souls dying, because all the souls are eternal. A person can die, their body can die, but their soul is eternal. And if it didn't finish its role this time around, it simply comes round again, and eventually all the souls are brought into the Gemar HaTikun, into the perfection. Okay. Well, that's brought us to for a whole hour.
And that was one question?
Sure, I understand
everything, and maybe I'm being too literal, but you said the fool folds his hands and eats his own flesh. That must have a much deeper meaning that I'm just not getting. Do you have any explanation for that?
Well, I just see it as a fool is somebody who is kind of like just wanting like immediate gratification, holding, you know, mechabek himself. He's just holding his own self. He's being lazy. Okay. But in the end, he eats his flesh. In the end, he's like really sorry about the time he wasted, about not doing the work he was meant to be doing.
So eating your own flesh is a sign of feeling sorry that you've done what you've done?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't. Thank you.
Yeah. It's a biblical phrase, but, you know, well, chelip soro means he's like eats himself out with annoyance, with anger, with himself. He's like self, you know.
Is that like eating your own heart out? Or
yeah.
Eating your heart out?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, okay.
Hi, Yedida, it's Diane.
Yeah.
Just another side thought in that it's the blessing of having children because we watch them as well, you know, we watch them continually come to forks in the road and...
Yeah.
We have to choose whether to guide them or we choose whether to step back and let them choose for themselves. But we get to live it all over again.
Totally.
Through them.
Yeah, totally. Gosh, yes, absolutely. We totally do, yes. We totally do, yeah. Yeah, we do. And sometimes they don't want to be guided. And you can see them heading down, you know, a wrong direction and there's not much you can do about it. What you see is a wrong direction and there's really not much you can do. Just pray for them and just, you know, say I'm here for you, and you just jolly well have to let them, you know, live their life and make their mistakes. That's a painful one, but you know, that's part of growing up and letting them get, you know, letting them go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, great. Okay, everybody. All right, so see you all next week.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Well, have a
thanks.
Good week.
Sorry, love, what'd you say?
Have a good week.
And you, thanks, Amy. Okay, bye then. Bye. Dina?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to tell you I put a check in the mail.
Oh, bless you, sweetie. I actually I wanted to tell Lisa Aiken about the Shiur, and I sent her an email.
She doesn't always check her email. But you know what? I will be seeing her, and I will tell her.
Yeah,
or I'll call her.
Might, you know, they were here at Shavuot. They were in the hotel on the corner, and they came by, and we spent a lovely, lovely long time learning together.
Oh, wonderful. You know what? I will tell her. I know that she's interested in studying again, and I will I'll call her and tell her.
Yes, that's right, because a couple of people who were on the call have dropped out. So I've got space. So there's no
wonderful.
Reason. Yeah, definitely.
Wonderful. She very often doesn't check her email, so I'll call her.
Okay,
that's
super.
A great idea.
Cause, yeah, because I don't have her phone number.
Yes, I'll call her. That's fine.
Wonderful. Yeah, because I think she would enjoy it.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Great.
All right.
Okay, super. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dina. It was lovely.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye.